No one decides to go into debt. It creeps up on you. Slowly. Debt follows debt. Follows debt. Unless you do something about it. Face your debt problems before they cripple you. It's time to do something.
You're listening to Vuga Online.
More music, more inspiration. Vuga Online.
It's time for Leadership Mondays on Vuga Online Radio.
You are on Leadership Mondays. When you hear that music, when you hear that signature, you know that we are talking to, we are having another conversation with another leader, just giving you as much as I can, 365 days of leadership. Well, not 365 days, because that's not true, actually. It's 52 weeks of leadership, because we have this thing once a week. Right. So today I have Dr. Jabulile, Dr. J, she calls herself. So I'm going to ask her to introduce herself, Dr. Jabulile Kalawe. How do you pronounce your last name?
Kalawe.
Kalawe. Okay.
Kalawe, yeah.
Cool. Yeah,
most people say
Kalawe.
So it's
Kalawe. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm a Motswana. So as a Motswana, I would probably say Kalawe.
Yeah, yeah, that's too bad.
welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I usually start the show with a bit of a snarky question. What gives you the right to talk about leadership on this show?
Yeah, it's a tricky question because the right is a very big weight. I don't know whether I got the right, but I think because I've been in leadership for some time, since in my times in the corporate world, because I started from corporate before I went to academia and to practice as a coach. So I've been a leader since then. And I think with that experience, then that's what I can call gives me the right to talk about leadership, because I've learned in during those years where I've been a leader. I've grown as a leader. I think I've developed the leadership skills. I think I lead much better, though I guess those that I lead can tell a better story than me. But I believe I lead better than then when I started.
Yeah.
Really, leadership for me has become something that I'm very passionate about, because I realize that absence of leadership, all of us, we just go nowhere, or we go where we don't know, because there's nobody who's saying this is where we are going and this is how we're going to go there. And these are the steps for us to get there. So leadership for me, it's very key, passionate about it, especially when it comes to women. We're going to August, so I'm going to twist it a bit to women.
That's okay. It's your platform, it's your conversation, it's your leadership. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about your journey to leadership. You've kind of alluded a little bit to it. But I also have to share a little bit of my frustration about something you said, which kind of like really drives me crazy. And I want to hear what your thoughts are. But you are on Leadership Mondays, and we have Dr. Jabulile Kalawe, who is, what's your role now? You're at Wits now, right?
I'm at Wits Business School now. So I'm a senior lecturer there. I lecture entrepreneurship, research, stats, and other things, coaching practice. And I'm also the program director of the Masters in Business and Executive Coaching.
There you go. I tricked you now to say it, because many people come onto the show, they don't tell me what they do. They say all of these fun things and all that. But what do you do today? There you go.
Yeah, that's one of the things I do. So I normally say I don't know which one is the side hustle and which one is the real job. Yeah. But for now, I won't say if it is the side hustle. My bosses, if they hear that, they'll fire me. But I've got a side hustle, which is my business, Dr. J Business Support, where I practice as a business and executive coach. I mentor entrepreneurs. I support postgrad students. I work with stakeholders in the enterprise development space from my entrepreneurship side. So that is the full picture. And I'm also a co-founder of AFE, which is an NPO that also looks at opportunities for entrepreneurship. So the bigger head really umbrella, I mean, is entrepreneurship and coaching and mentorship.
Yeah. And that's and also the author of a new book. Congratulations, dear Mr. Entrepreneurship. And we will talk a little bit about it, hopefully, when we get a chance. But we have to take a quick break right now, and then we'll be back after this.
Highway Harley Davidson. There are no words.
Waking up all day to Vuga Online.
You are on Vuga Online Radio and Leadership Mondays, and we are talking to Dr. Chabalila Msimao. Do you still use Msimao? Msimao Kalawe.
Yes, my father will kill me if I leave that name out because he believes he owns the DR at the beginning, so it has to be there. So he's no more, but I still honor him, so I use Msimango. Yeah. I always say if I were to drop any name, I'll drop the last one, but my father wants to see the Msimango there.
Yeah. No, I don't blame him. Every father... Which kind of makes me interested here. So to your family, to your dad, to your late dad, where in the line of children were you?
So I'm a second born, which I have become the first born because my older sister as well passed on in 2015. Yes. So then I was now forced to be the first born. It's nine of us at home, so I'm the second one. So I've been a deputy mom for a lot of kids after me.
yes, which is, I think it's always the case, right? In families, you kind of adopt a role that it seems all the time that you have nothing to do with, or has nothing to do with you, and yet there you are, and sometimes it feels like you can't say no.
Yeah, it's true.
So let's talk a little bit about your journey to here. So you mentioned that you started in corporate, and obviously now currently in academia. Share a little bit of some of the highlights of your journey, and let's just some of the highlights of your journey for the listeners.
Yeah, so my journey is a very colorful one because I've been moving from one industry or one space to another. So when I completed from university, I completed with an MSc, which was in statistics, risk analysis. So because of that, then my first job was at Eskom as a statistician. Which I worked there between from 2002 up until 2006. And then from there in, I moved on to become to run my own business. That's when I started the first business, which my book that I wrote now is mostly about the failure of that business and how I leveraged the lessons from that failure to become the person that I am today. So I ran the first business up until like 2011. 2011, I had to close it because a lot of things went wrong, which is a lot of mistakes that I made, external factors as well, recession between 2008, 2009, which affected my business because it was mostly a kind of like selling things that people don't have to buy. So it was corporate clothing and gifts, stationery, learning material, and those kind of things. So then from there, 2011, I felt I had enough of it because it was The juices were not flowing anymore. I was not getting ideas as to how to revive the business. And I was also getting sick because there was just too much stress out of it. Then I closed it. And then in 2011-12, while sitting around wondering what next to do, because I felt like I needed a break from a hectic environment of entrepreneurship. So I was paging through a newspaper and I saw a lecturing job at CPUT. I applied for that. I had no lecturing experience or whatever. They were looking for somebody with stats. And then I got that job. And then that's how I got introduced to academia. So I was there the year 2012 as a lecturer. And I realized, that's where I found out that I'm actually passionate about this teaching thing. I enjoyed it. And then after that, I felt I would like to explore this field of teaching. And then that's when I started doing my PhD. So in 2013, then I started with my PhD. In entrepreneurship, and there were two reasons. I was now interested in academia, but at the same time, I was looking for answers for the business that failed. So I hoped that when I finish my PhD, I will find an equation that is going to tell me what to do in my next business so that I don't fail. I've done my PhD, I'm done, I'm still looking for that answer because I thought I'll find a straightforward equation that said, 1 + 1 = 2.
Good luck.
But I found that 1 + 1 has got a question mark on the other side. So I'm still doing research and I'm still looking for those answers. But I learned a lot during the PhD, but yeah. I didn't get the absolute answer that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And then while I was doing PhD then, because I was doing my PhD at the First Business School, then there was an opportunity. Okay, so at the same time when I was doing my PhD, I went back to corporate as well. So I was working as a risk analyst in one of the consulting firms. And then in 2016, then I went full-time as an to finish up my PhD. And then at the same time, then I joined VETS as a research assistant and later on then became a full-time lecturer. So that's how I got to academia.
A colored journey indeed, right? A colored journey indeed. And it's very funny, you know, when people start a PhD, you start with a particular question and you're thinking, I'm very sure I'm gonna solve the problems of the whole world with this one little bit of
gonna save the world. That's what we tell the students now, that don't worry about saving the world.
Yes, and I always laugh because I do that when I now supervise students. They come, they're all blue, bushy-tailed and shiny-eyed. Have you spoken to their school yet? Do you know if they actually really like this topic at all?
Yeah,
is it even in their strategic direction, or are you just going to talk about shoes and they don't care about shoes?
Exactly.
So Askies, I'm sure you see that, you see a lot of that.
Yes, I see a lot of it. Because I've started there myself, I'm a bit sympathetic and I understand when students come with that excitement and I allow them the space to get excited. I don't burst their bubble. And later on, when they hit that road where now they're looking for real answers, and then I tell them, we can put the saving the world apart now. They start having the conversation. You're going to get excited. You're going to get tired. You're going to not want to see this PhD, and you're going to like it again and hate it. But it's part of the process. But at the end of the day, trust me, you're not going to save the world. But you're just going to have a bit more understanding of how things work and certain concepts, research skills and all that. And when you've got that, those skills, then you go say, try now to save the world. But yes. It's common. We all start.
On your own time, at your own.
Sorry, without I'm the university mean. Interfering, wanting you to graduate.
I've been mean. You are on Leadership Mondays. We're talking to Dr. Jabulani Kalawe, who is the founder and managing director of Dr. J Business Support and the program director of the Masters in Business and Executive Coaching at VITS. And as she said, an entrepreneur, statistician, business coach, mentor, facilitator, public speaker, researcher, senior lecturer. You heard. When do you sleep? I get this question all the time. So it's my turn to ask this, but we'll answer that when we come back from a break. We need to take a musical break because we are more music, more inspiration on Vuka Online Radio, Leadership Mondays.
The Africa Center for Work-Based Learning is a professional development center for professionals who aim to improve their professional standing. This means that the learning programs we run are more than just academic programs. They are work-based programs that focus on leveraging your current experience as a professional to build your overall profile. A year down the line, the Africa Center for Work-Based Learning is developing into a preferred center for professional development in Pretoria, with 8 professional development faculties including accounting, teaching, entrepreneurship, as well as IT and many more. For more information, go to acwbl.org or dial +27 12 751 7608. The Africa Center for Work-Based Learning, where work is learning.
Waking up all day with Vuka Online Radio.
My people, how are you doing? Are you having a lovely Monday? It's always interesting the relationship that people have with Monday. And it's actually funny how I don't have any kind of issues with Monday at all. Like, I am not bothered. People are like, oh no, it's Monday. I actually don't even believe I actually really worried about Monday, but I know I used to. But now when I look back, I'm like, that was so crazy. What's the big deal about? So I don't have a Friday. I don't have a Monday. I have days. Some of the days are like exciting. Actually, most of my days are exciting. I'm the luckiest person in the world because I kind of have to do a lot of things that I love. But sometimes I have to do admin, like just before we got into our call now. I was doing some crazy stuff. But let's go back to you. Do you sleep with all the thousand things that you do? How do you manage and juggle all of these things?
Yeah, the sleeping question is a very tricky one. I'm in this other program with Herbalife Group. And normally when you get into those healthy programs, they tell you you must sleep 8 hours and all those things, exercise so many hours and all that. And when you take those hours and add them up to the 24 hours, you are left with a shortage. There's two. Where do I get the other hours in there? And one of the things that you learn when you are ambitious or you are trying to achieve things is that the certain sacrifices you have to make, and mostly comes from the sleeping. You are not going to sleep 12 hours. You are not going to sleep 8 hours, at least not every day. You might have certain days where you intentionally tell yourself, today is my sleeping day, and you can sleep those hours. But generally, if you are ambitious, you want to achieve, you have to prioritize. And one of the things you sacrifice is the sleeping, some social life. You don't sit in front of the TV like everybody else would sit and know from soapy 1 to soapy 10. You can't afford to do those things. So you reduce the sleeping, you reduce the social life, you reduce certain things and you prioritize, but you still make sure you take care of self and have some social and have some time for family, have some time for sleeping, but you have to be very strategic. But the sleeping gets compromised somewhere.
it's actually quite fascinating. I mean, the topic of sleep. I because that's also one of the things I've grown to learn differently, that actually we don't need 8 hours. We need what we need. Every single one of us has to know their sleeping pattern, their sleeping cycle. We each have different sleeping cycles. And when you know it, it is amazing. For example, I have a broken sleeping cycle, which I didn't know before, where then I would try to force myself to sleep into this 8 hours in one night. No, that's not how it works with me. With me, I know that by 10 o'clock, if I don't sleep by 10:20 p.m., because my body just goes zoom and closes. If I don't sleep at that time, my body gives me 20 minutes grace period to go to bed. And if I take at that time, I go to bed, I'm out like a light. Done, finished. I will be up at 2 o'clock latest.
Yeah. So it's not a quantity issue, it's a quality issue.
Yes. Before, I used to then worry by 2 o'clock to go like, oh my God, love, I'm awake, I have insomnia. But what I didn't notice is that my body then gives me 2 hours. That's hunting time. That's usually hunting time in terms of my body, where my biological clock. So I have to, I'm awake, fully awake, I can hunt. And then at about 4 a.m., give or take, could be 3:30, it comes back. And I'm out again for another 2 to 3 hours. And then I will be up at 6 or 7 or whatever. And my body just wakes itself up. So I don't wake up to an alarm. I don't wake up to anything. And I've learned now it is the best thing, because when I wake up in the middle of the night, I no longer stress about the fact that I'm not sleeping. I actually just, oh, okay, I'm up. Half day, I'm done with my half night sleep, and then I go and do that. So, and I think when you talk then about the whole idea around sacrificing sleep, it might be interesting to check, are you sacrificing sleep or are you working within your sleep cycles? And that would be very fascinating. And the people I feel sorry for are people that have a diurnal sleep cycle. There are some people that actually have a daytime sleep cycle, which means they actually have to sleep in the middle of the day, so they can't sleep at night. And about 20 to 25% of the world's population is in that bracket. Anyway, this is not about sleep.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Let's talk about leadership. So what are the lessons you have learned about leadership with that whole journey you've just described? What did you learn about? What is the one thing or two things that you've learned about leadership for sure?
The one thing I think for sure that I've learned is that what makes you a good leader is not you 100% being able to do all the things that you need to do to achieve what you need to achieve. But is being able to use the resources you have, and that includes human resources that you have, to help you achieve what you need to achieve. Because if you've got big dreams and big goals, there's no way you're going to do it single-handedly. You need people. And when you've got that team that is going to help you as a leader, either achieve for an organization or individual goals, whatever it is, when you have that team, the biggest thing I think that differentiates good leaders and bad leaders is those leaders who are able to mine the strong points that they get from the leader, from each individual, and take that and integrate it into a power, as a team power or an organization power. And what I used to do at the beginning, early on in my leadership, I will have a team, but for some reason, I always had this sense that I can do it better when I do things myself. I'll have a team, and the team will be sitting around having all the time. You give them all the small things that don't matter, because you've got this thing that you can do it as a leader, but you get burned out. And then you learn that what is going to make you succeed, identify the strong points of each member in your team and maximize from that. And most of the time, those strong points from the team has to complement your weak points. For example, you don't like admin, you've got that last. And then in that way, then you can be the best in what you do, but more time in what you are able to do. But that class can do the stuff that you are weak on. So people normally say hire your weaknesses. And that's what makes you a good leader, to be able to use other people's strong points to make sure that your weak points are not exposed. But at the end of the day, then you succeed as a leader. The people who are looking at outside, looking at your organization or looking at you as an individual winning, they see you and they say, oh, Dr. J is successful. But they don't know is that the leader in me was able to use the different people to help me achieve what I need to achieve. So if you are a leader and you are not good at delegating, you are not good at identifying skills that can complement you, you're most likely not going to reach the level that you want to meet, I mean, to reach. And that's what I've learned over time as a leader.
Yeah, sounds amazing. And I think there's so many questions that are coming out of that, but how do you personally discover people's strengths? Because I think it's easier said than done in terms of the theory, and you've just described what is probably a normal curve problem for many leaders. When I'm transitioning from a level one, level two leader to a leader of others, that's a big challenge to say, what do I let go of and what do I gain? I remember even when I got Douglas, I was going, I don't know what to give him.
Yeah. The tricky thing, and I like saying this in my coaching sessions when I coach leaders, that there are things you will read from a textbook and there are things that will come with you. Intuition with experience.
Yes.
And one of those things is identifying people that are good, that you can trust, that you can give very important things to do, because you can't afford to have those things go wrong.
Yes.
And that is one of those things, intuition, to identify the good skills. Obviously, you have the textbook stuff that tells you, look for attitude, look for this, look for this. It's good, it's in the textbook. Yes. But seeing that and having the eye to see that, unfortunately, is what you're not going to find in the textbook. It's intuitive, and you don't always get it right. And one of the things you need to be comfortable with as a leader, you need to give yourself permission to be wrong and to fail. You will get certain people, bring them in your team thinking they are good, think you've seen what you are looking for in them. After 6 months or so, you realize I was wrong. They are not what I'm looking for. And we have to be comfortable with being wrong and let them go and keep looking. But there's that element of luck where you get that day where you find exactly what you are looking for, and you'll be like, this is it. And you know it, and you just click, and together you achieve a lot of things.
You don't know how you just relieved me, because there are days when I sit and go, I was like the head of recruitment of a major bank. But once in a while, I like just hire really bad people. And I'm like, why? You know, because am I not supposed to be an expert at doing this by now? And I hear what you're saying, that sometimes you really make bad decisions. But I suppose the key here is to learn from that situation and realize and decide what now, what's next. I suppose the problem is when you repeat the same behavior all the time, and then you're still hiring the same person. Because I find that many leaders do that without reflection, without change. They then get to repeat the same mistake over and over.
I think the key there, that word reflection, that is the key. Because if you appoint somebody, you find out you made a mistake, you pick up what are the things that are wrong there. If you don't go back and reflect and look at the process that got you there and learn from that, you know, they normally say, we don't learn from our experiences, we learn from reflecting on our experiences. If you don't do that reflection, you're not going to be alert and aware to the mistakes that you made that led you to that decision. And then you repeat it. The reflection helps a lot. So you won't be a successful leader if you don't spend time reflecting.
But where am I going to find time reflecting when I'm so busy, Dr. J?
Exactly what you said earlier, you find where your clock works best. Before you start, when that clock says now you are awake, it's your time to work, you are the most active guy, the first thing you do, spend a little bit of time, reflect what happened yesterday, what can I learn from what happened yesterday, then you get started. Becomes kind of like also part of your planning, because before you start your day, you're going to plan what's going to happen on that day. And then it can become part of that. If you go to the time later on, some people say they normally find it effective, they do it end of the day before they sleep, sit a little bit, and they do that, and then they go to bed. That normally kind of like help them.
Yeah. She is an entrepreneur, statistician, business coach, and a lot of everything in between while she juggles and does senior lecturing, and now an author. I don't even know how, where you people get the time. Like every time I sit down, and I have like 4 books that I started, and every time I sit down, I'm like, this is taking so long. I have other things to do.
You won't believe how long mine took. Eh? I started writing mine 2018. And between 2018 and 2022, you can imagine what happened there. You write it, you stop, you even forget that you've got a book that you're writing. You start again, you even forgot the ideas that you started with, you refine it, you do that. But then in 2021, then I was like really intentional, and I put a date on it at this day. So I put November 2021, I'm launching. And then I started now having a plan and having milestones, specific days when I'm finishing with chapter. And then it started moving. I didn't launch in 2021 November because that date was not public. So I had the flexibility of changing it. Yeah. But I realized that that flexibility was disadvantaging me. After that, I published the launch date. So I published the launch date before the book was done. That was the biggest stress that I had to deal with, because the pace was not moving as the date was getting closer to that launch date. So the last few days before the launch, I felt like canceling it, telling everybody, sorry, guys, there's no book. We'll see it next year, because it was just too much stress. But it forced me to push, because now I had to think about the implications of canceling a date that I've already published. Other people have already paid coming to the launch. And that forced me to get it done.
Hey, we will talk a lot more about it. I think I'm going to learn a lot in this. Let me give you a chance to drink some water. You did say you have a bit of a cough. And I am with Dr. J, and we are talking leadership and everything in between. And we have about 10 minutes together. But in that time, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about the last piece. I want to talk a little bit about DMS, the entrepreneurship. But then start wrapping it up in terms of what is the one thing that leaders who are listening right now can actually do based on some of the challenges you have identified. But for now, we'll be back.
Don't take credit. Unexpected coming from a bank. But just think about it. Using credit to finance a flashy lifestyle to show that you've arrived won't help you live better. What's new today is old tomorrow, except for the debt that you still have to pay. But do take credit to renovate your home, buy a more reliable car, or pay for your children's education. If that's your goal, then Capitec will help you realize your dreams. Because living better starts when you get credit for the right reasons.
Vuga. It's time to wake up.
So, my people, what are some of the interesting leadership challenges that you are experiencing? What are some of the things, as you're listening to this conversation, that are beginning to say to you, okay, I see, I hear, I notice. Let's talk at Vuga Online Radio, everywhere, or otherwise, at Mungazisima Academy, you can also chat to me on every social media platform, except on Twitter, where I was young, so I was at MC_MAK. I've always wanted to be on radio, so this MC thing has always been with me. So you spoke, just before we took a break, you spoke a little bit about the writing process and how you got into it. And I like the idea of actually committing to it publicly, because when you then commit publicly, it puts you under stress. But I'm also noticing that it's actually that stress, that commitment, that makes us make it slow. I mean, I know definitely from my side, it's definitely that. It's like, but there's also something, and I want to check where it was with you. The satisfaction with the content, how do you know when you are happy with it and you are ready to get it out?
You never know.
Okay.
You never know. It's one of those things that gives you anxiety towards the end. Because it's like you can't do testing like, you know, the Lean Startup principle will tell you go test an MVP and all that. When you go with a book, it's a fully fledged book. There's no MVP there. You go there, you put it in the market. You will only find out after it is out there whether the content is achieving what you thought it will achieve. And that is the biggest anxiety, because you've got your name there. And unfortunately, also with these titles of DR, they put us under a lot of pressure, because the expectation cannot go and deliver a metric book when you've got that title DR. So that gives you even more stress and anxiety to say, what if the book gets out there and the public gets there, read it and feel that, you know, they're not getting anything out of it. Fortunately, you only find out when it's out there. So you will never know. But the other thing that helped me, because as I said, like towards the end, I felt like even canceling the launch, because I was now doubting whether it is good enough to go out. But what helps is also to have other people who are objective, because you get too much into the content that everything starts sounding the same. And then I had other people that I trusted to read it, give me their feedback, what they think. And then when I got about 4 or 5 people saying it makes sense, I think it's achieving what you're trying to achieve. And then I was like, okay, let me go test it now in the bigger market.
So, and it'll tell us about the book just now. How's the reception?
So far, the reception has been good. I was surprised. Most people buy, and then they come back to buy for friends. They recommend friends. So, now I have to go back and print more next week because it's been received very well as far as the feedback that I'm getting, and people are posting on social media talking about it, which is like free marketing for me. And then that's how I'm getting now more people coming and looking for the book.
It sounds like you had a nice, clear marketing strategy there.
Yeah, I've got people helping me. That is not my strong point. So I've got people helping me with the social media. So the young people normally manages that stuff well. So I've got people that helps me with the social media, the marketing, and trying to get the messages out there. And so far, I think they are doing a good job. Yeah.
Dear Mr. Entrepreneurship, whet our appetite. One paragraph. What is, if I buy this thing, what am I going to be reading about? And what's up with that title?
The title is always the interesting one, because you will, if you follow on social media, because the title says hashtag DM is the entrepreneurship, people always think there's a grammatical error. It was supposed to say DM is the entrepreneur. And they will rewrite it, correct it, and write DM is the entrepreneur. But then those who have read the book, they know where the title comes from, because the first part, I explain how I got to that title. Because the relationship or my experience of as an entrepreneur felt like I was in a relationship with somebody. And that somebody, because I'm a woman, then I define that somebody or describe that somebody as a man. And then I took the concept entrepreneurship and personified it. And then I made entrepreneurship a man. So I narrate the story in the book as a story of a relationship between Miss Entrepreneur, which is myself. I made myself a proxy of entrepreneurs to tell the story of entrepreneurs and their experiences. And then I made this complex concept, entrepreneurship, that most of us struggle to understand, a man. And then I narrate the story as a love story between Miss Entrepreneur and Mr. Entrepreneurship. And the objective really there to achieve is that I want even people who are not entrepreneurs to be able to read and follow the storyline. I want people who want to start, who haven't started, those who are running their businesses already. I want teenagers. I want it to be easy content to consume without having a lot of business lingo that makes other people not to want to read business book. So that is the storyline. So if you read it, you will relate to it either as a lover, as an entrepreneur, as somebody who wants to start, as a side hustler, or as somebody who support entrepreneurs. So there's different angles where I tell the story in the different letters that I write.
Sounds amazing. Sounds interesting, actually. So it makes me want already say, okay, I need a copy. Why don't I have one already? So,
on its way to you.
So I want one, but what I want to do to you, the listener, if this sounds like something you are really interested in, I'm going to ask Jabila here to, I'm going to buy an additional copy for one lucky winner. So we're going to ask you a question. Go and check out our page. So I'm not going to ask it on air. If you're listening, I want you to go to the Evuka Online radio page. I'm going to put the question there just after this show. You answer that question, you send us a WhatsApp on our WhatsApp line that will be on there. The first person that sends that and got the answer correct will win. Deal? Cool.
And maybe two. I'll add an extra copy there. So we can have two winners. And then,
there you go. Now we have two winners.
The best two, then they can win.
Perfect. Perfect. Entrepreneurship indeed. So let's wrap up. So essentially then there's three things. These things, there's not enough time for this kind of conversation. So I'm going to ask very sharp questions that probably don't take two lines to answer, but you can try. First of all, coaching. Alison was here the other day talking about coaching and all of those things. Does it work?
It definitely works. How do you know it works? You ask the people who go to coaching sessions. I have a coach myself. I don't tell others to come. I coach them on something that I haven't tested. It yes. works. And the transformation and the feedback you get from people confirms every day that it works.
Yeah. Number two. We've been talking now about entrepreneurs. We've been talking about leadership. But there's also something that you mentioned earlier. It was interesting to hear the twist of a tongue. When you were talking about another person that you delegate work to, and then you said her instead of him. That's very interesting in terms of your default perception around the fact that the employee could be a female. Anything to say about that?
That's interesting you pick up that, because I was not even conscious about it. Yes. But I advocate a lot of things in that relates to women and women empowerment and stuff. So maybe because I talk a lot about women issues, try to push women agenda, looking especially in leadership, looking at the fact that the struggles of women in leadership is different from the struggle of men in leadership, because the double challenges that we deal with, we bring from home, we bring from patriarchy, we bring from our socialization, expectations from the communication. So there are a lot of things that women in leadership deals with that sometimes other people might not be aware of. So that's, and I've picked up also from my coaching sessions, that there's a lot of things that hinder women from taking opportunities, big opportunities, taking promotions and all that, because of those challenges and those limiting beliefs that comes from patriarchy and socialization and all that. So that's by default. Then I end up talking a lot about women, the hairs and stuff.
Yeah. Closing question. A leader who is now a female, who is female, who is an entrepreneur, what's the one thing they can do when they get out of this conversation? What's the one thing, one action they should take according to you?
I think the key thing specific to women, specifically within entrepreneurship, first, entrepreneurs need to start seeing themselves as leaders. Yes. And look at their leadership skills. Because if you don't see yourself as a leader, as an entrepreneur, you'll miss the opportunity to assess yourself as a leader and develop those skills. Mm. Women in general, start paying attention to the limiting beliefs that you have that makes you not take up higher or executive positions, that makes you maybe sometimes also not raise your hand when there's big projects and stuff. need to start looking at that. So that's my challenge out there to women and intrapreneurs. Get out of here, or when you're done listening to this, as an intrapreneur, look at your leadership skills. As a woman, look at your limiting beliefs.
Yeah. And I think those beliefs, they affect all of us. Eh? That self-talk and that noise. Sometimes I wish there was the bullhorn you could actually put on the side of the head so that people can actually hear that noise. And then they go, what are you saying to me? Because I actually talk to myself, top voice. No, it's not true. We always close the show with a song. What song can we play for you?
Oh, wow. That one caught me by surprise. I'm a Christian. I like gospel song. I know you play a lot of jazz, so I don't know whether you'll have it.
No, we play adult contemporary music of all genres. I don't know who spread this rumor that Vuga is a jazz music station.
We see what you play.
I just love jazz, but I am not Vuga, eh?
it's Benjamin Dube. That's the one song that I like from him. He keeps on doing great things. That's my favorite song. Yeah.
Is that the name of the song? He keeps on doing great things.
Yes.
But are you just praising? Are you just praising Benjamin Dube?
I think it is the name.
Thank you so much, Dr. J, and for joining us as an entrepreneur, statistician, business coach, mentor, facilitator, public speaker, researcher, senior lecturer, and then we add to that now author, and being in business now for almost 20 years, and mentoring and coaching for almost 5, practicing business and executive coach, and a lot more. Thank you so much for the work you're doing, and thank you for contributing, and thank you for Dear Mr. Entrepreneurship.
Thank you for inviting me. It was lovely having the conversation with you. Much appreciated. Thank you.
It wasn't too painful, right?
No, it wasn't. It was casual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to all the listeners at home, thank you for sharing the space with us as we wrap up this week. And I'll see you next week, God willing, on Leadership Mondays. Here's Benjamin Dube.